Hello, everyone. This is Erica Janelle, and this is another episode of Relationship Talks. Today, I am extremely excited to have my friend, my buddy, a person that I love and cherish very much, my friend Lanita. We are going to be talking about women and them embracing and being comfortable with their sexuality and with their sexual side of themselves. It's something that I think women are starting to embrace more in this new age, but it wasn't always a thing. So we're going to talk about this topic, and hopefully it's something that you guys can relate to. Without further ado, Lanita, you want to introduce yourself?
I am Lanita, and I can't really give too much relationship advice, but I can speak on the topic.
Yes.
So I am happy to be here.
Yes.
And I'm happy to share, my outlook on everything.
Perfect. Well, for me, I can say I'm pretty good at giving relationship advice. I've had some pretty bad ones, as I've talked about in my previous relationship talks. And I've had some pretty good experiences, in my more recent years, with relationships, different types of people. And one of the things that I'm learning in this journey is, as women, we are often, at least back in the day, it was a thing where women didn't talk about their sexuality as much. It's become way more open. People have become way more open discussing sexuality for women, and discussing women feeling confident talking about sex, what they want in the bedroom, not just always catering to what the man needs, but also getting what they need met and being real with who they are. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you have your stars, like I think Beyonce was probably one of the first people that was out there, was just like boldly embracing her sexuality on stage with her dance moves and her outfits and just being free to be her feminine, sexy self and not hiding that part of herself. And now you go and you got a whole lot further now with, and I can't say Beyonce is the first, because you got people like Lil' Kim and others that embrace their sexuality, and you have Nicki Minaj, and yeah, but now it's like Cardi B is like saying some stuff that women would never say on a song before. Well, Lil' Kim. So I just want to kind of open up this conversation. It's not been such a common theme as it is now. You have people like Megan Thee Stallion and all of these other people that are really truly embracing their sexuality now, and it's become a thing where people are more comfortable sharing that part of themselves. So give me a little bit of feedback of kind of what your experience, why you think that there's a shift. What is it that you think that we as women need to learn to embrace our sexual side of ourselves?
Where do I start on this? So as far as women embracing their sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with how it's frowned upon. Even though mm-hmm. we do have artists like Lil' Kim and Cardi B and other artists, Megan Thee Stallion,
mm-hmm.
because sex sells.
So sex does sell.
Their job.
Mm-hmm.
But for your regular, smuggler female walking around day to day, she's not going to dress like that as
right.
provocative.
Right.
Like that, right? You don't have to have your breasts out or, your behind out in order to show your provocative side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
Even when it comes to being private or in the bedroom, we still can't accept our sexuality. We're almost there to please the man at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we want to be pleased, it's like when we're, having sex, it's for the guy. It's not necessarily for the female. And now things are starting to shift, because not just this generation or the last generation, but women are becoming more and more independent.
Yes.
So the question is now is like, okay, I'm here because I want to be pleased as well.
Right.
This is not just about you.
What am I getting out of this deal?
Yeah. And, certain standards are being set for guys that weren't set before,
mm-hmm.
Because we're more independent now. So the demands kind of go up. And as far as you expressing your sexuality, like I said, it's a hard topic. It's a hard topic to touch on, because we have shame that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
We have just the embarrassment of being sexual, because the moment you wear something provocative, all of a sudden you're a hoe.
Right.
And, you know, that's not going to change. So it's all up to the level of maturity of the female or woman, you know, who raised you, you know, to express that sexuality, because it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in America, we're probably the one country that don't accept sex like everywhere else.
Right. You know? And with that being said, one of the things I'm working on getting some tantric sex specialists and therapists to come on the podcast and really talk about that. And that's really big in like a lot of other cultures. Like I know in the Indian culture, that's where it started from. And it's very big in embracing sensuality and sexuality, understanding your body and what it is that turns you on, and not just the physical act of penetration or the physical act of whether it be oral sex or whatever kind of actual sex it is. It's more about connecting to your own body and being able to understand what it is that your body needs, what your body wants, what turns you on, what makes you excited. And then when you're with another person, connecting with them on that deeper spiritual level, and then your body is just in a whole different place when you connect mentally and spiritually with another person's soul on that level. I mean, I've experienced it, and let me tell you, it's nothing like it. I mean, I thought I was having sex. I thought I was having sex before I had that, and now I'm questioning everything I've done before. But I say that to say that again.
Like, have I been doing this right?
Yeah, I'm like, what have I been doing? This is what is this what I've been missing all this time? But I say that to say, I feel like as women, it's okay. We're so taught to, and I'm not even talking about being outwardly, you know, wearing something really provocative or, you know, doing any of those things. I'm talking about just embracing your sexuality as a woman, understanding that you have sexual needs. Like when you brought up the point about how we as women, when we're, you know, historically in the bedroom, we think about, okay, I want to please this man. I got to do what I got to do to make this man want to come back and be committed to me and faithful to me. And what can I do to please him and make him satisfied to where I'm chosen? Not realizing that you are the prize, you know? And I'm not saying that the man is not a prize, but you are the prize. And what is, as I've gotten older as a woman in my 40s now, I'm realizing that it's just certain things that I was probably in my 30s when I used to make men get up when they just didn't do it for me. I'm like, this is not working. We're done. Go get your shoes. But at this point in my life, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with me knowing my body and what satisfies me. And it's more than just, okay, you do a little bit of oral sex, you kiss me, and then you just ready to bam, go in, and it's, you know, and I'm supposed to be excited about that. No. I feel like as women, we have to, first of all, learn our own bodies and what it is that we really want. If you strip all of the shame, all of the fear, all of the, you know, being afraid that somebody's going to question you or look at you crazy if you ask for this.
Right, so that's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to embrace your sexuality,
yes,
you got confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know, your insecurities that mm-hmm. come into place, and the social media, how it influences you, mm-hmm. and how the public view you. All of these things come into play when we talk about embracing your sexuality, because what the TV says and what social media says is my boobs should look a certain way, my butt should look a certain way.
Yes.
So if I don't look this kind of way,
I'm not sexy
enough in the bed with this guy.
Yes.
So how can I embrace my sexuality at this point?
And see, I think as with everything, you know, as a life coach, the first thing that I always teach people is self-love first. And I think if you don't know how to embrace your own body and your own flaws, like I talk all the time about my stretch marks and my cellulite, like it is what a TI is. Mm-hmm. I've had
right,
four.
It takes a while to get there.
Like, yeah. And it takes intention.
Insecurity.
Yeah. It's right. Intentional. And I don't think just because you're, it's not an age thing. It's a work thing. How much work do you put in into embracing and loving yourself the way you deserve to be loved? Because at the end of the day, I look at my body and there are things that I see as flaws, but other people think are beautiful, but it's my view of my body. And it's not that I love my body, but I hate cellulite. So like, it's something that I'm working on for my personal goal, not to say that's going to be a thing that's going to hinder a man from wanting to be with me. I've never had a problem. Never in once, never in the history of niggerdom has a man said, I don't want you because you got cellulite on your legs. I ain't never heard a man say it. Not once. But I say that as my own personal thing. It's the perfectionist in me, the way I see myself, the way I want to see my body. But confidence is such a key thing, and you can't bypass that and go to like step five, like self-love, embracing your own body. So there is this concept of mirror work. And a lot of people do mirror work. And what mirror work is basically you stand in front of the mirror completely naked. You look at your body you look at your body from head to toe. And you talk about all of the things that you love about your body. Well, first you talk about all the things you hate about your body. How, you know, one boob may sit up higher than the other, or, you know, one nipple might be bigger than the other nipple, or, you know, your stomach is not as flat as you would like for it to be, or, you know, you've got, you know, arm fat hanging off of here, or you've got, you know, you sit here and you look at your whole body from head to toe. You talk about your eyes, your cheeks, your nose, your lips, whatever it is. And you look at your body and you look at all of those things that you hate about your body, and you outwardly say those things. Then after you sit there and criticize the hell out of yourself and all the things you don't like about your body in that mirror, then you go and you look at all the wonderful things about your body. Yeah, okay, one of my boobs may sit higher than the other one, but I have pretty nice boobs. I like my boobs. They make my clothes look better when I'm in my clothes, you know. They've been able to be used to nurture my children, you know, and give them life and sustenance, you know. You look at your stomach, be like, you know, I've had four children, but my stomach is not that bad. I mean, I got stretch marks, but it's not like terrible. You know, it's pretty good, you know. And then you go and you look at all the things that you love about yourself, and then you actually learn to embrace it. So what you do is you release all those negative things that you said about yourself, what society says about you. Because it's the big thing is now getting your ass done, you know, getting a new ass. That's like the thing. Everybody wants an ass. And some people get an ass and it looks crazy. Like your legs are that big, but you got this gigantic ass and you look like you're going to break, break your leg. You gotta be more careful, you know. So it's like everybody wants all of these things because that's what social media and society says is beauty. But embracing your own body and coming to terms with what you love and what you don't love about your body is the first step. And when you get to that place where you're like, I don't really give a fuck who doesn't like my stretch marks or my cellulite, and I love my body. So when I am going to get dressed and I'm going to go shop for my clothes, I'm going to get something that complements my curves. I'm going to get something that complements the things I love about my body. So if it's my breast, I'm going to sit them girls up to the gods and I'm going to make them look the way I want them to look in my dress or in my outfit or whatever, because I love my breast. And that's the place that women have a hard time coming to terms with, I think, especially because of social media. Social media has its wonderful benefits, but it also can destroy people's self-concept. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but it is a big deal.
I definitely agree. But let's say a female has gotten over her insecurities and she's able to overcome what everyone else thinks, right? And she's now at this point where she wants to dominate her partner, right? Because at this point, you don't have to dominate. You can do a little bit of both. You can be submissive as well.
Yeah.
In my case, dominant. And, you know.
We know.
Your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some tips and tricks to, you know, embracing the sexuality? What can help someone feel more confident in the bedroom? Or, you know, be able to embrace themselves, their sexuality. Once they have worked on their confidence.
On their self-concept.
The fact that once they once they have worked on step one, two, and three.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're here. And, you know, I want to be super sexy.
Yes. So I'm all about, I love it. I love that whole, but see, I love the balance of the dominance and the submission. Like, I believe there's a time to be dominated and there's a time to dominate. And I find that as long as it's not over the top with either one or the other, men appreciate it. So, like, I'll say this, for example. Like, I have definitely gotten dressed up in some outfits and brought some handcuffs and some whips. I'm here for it.
That's embracing the sexuality.
I'm embracing it. So, if that's something, right. If I'm feeling a little frisky that day and I want to, you know, get into some dominating, I'm okay with that. But I think the key is it's your partner. And it's got to be a level of trust that you have with your partner. So, I find that with women, and we've talked about this, we are so afraid of what judgment our partner is going to have if we tell them that this is something that we're looking to do. So we don't talk about it. We just fucking do it. And in some cases, that might not turn out well. So if you try and go and dominate a man in certain men, and I'm talking about certain men, I'm talking about super masculine, you know, men that are like, oh, I am a man. Don't you dare try to, you know, stick your finger up my ass, or don't you dare try to do whatever, I don't know, tie me up or whatever it is. And I'm not saying everybody doesn't like everything. So I'm not judging anybody's sexuality. I'm just saying whatever it is, we're using this as an example. I feel like once you got to that point and you had, if you can have the conversation with your partner and say, hey, there's a side of me that wants to explore other things. I want us to have this type of relationship where we can explore certain things. You know, you down for it? I've had these conversations.
Right. Yeah, so that's a part of the embracing your sexuality, being able to have this conversation without
being shamed
or anything like that, being comfortable with your partner to discuss it, right?
Yeah.
So the whole topic is embracing your sexuality while in a relationship.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to the women who have embraced their sexuality, and it's, they call it the honeymoon stage, right?
Uh-huh.
You guys are hot for each other. Been together for 2 years now. Now, all of a sudden, you're not hot with each other, and it has nothing to do with embracing your sexuality. It could be a
passion.
Ton of things.
Yeah, it could be the passion. It could be your busy. It could be children. It could be life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where it comes into the area of really being intentional with relationships. This is, and as a person that was married for 17 years total of my life when I was very young, I understand that you have to be intentional to keep that fire and that passion in the bedroom. It's not when you, well, after you have children and a job and, you know, all of these responsibilities and things, it's a lot more difficult to really just be like, okay, we just gonna go wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, in the kitchen. When you walk in the door, I'm taking your clothes off. You know, you can't really always do that now that you've got like all of these other things going on. So it's intentional. Like, you got to schedule that shit. Like, be grown up and put that shit in the calendar. All right. 4 days out of the week, I need sex. Okay. That is my standard. That is the minimum. I need 4 to 5 days of sex in a week. And me, I'm probably.
How many women do you think is actually this confident and comfortable with?
Not many.
Sexuality and just being comfortable with talking about it with their partner.
Not many. And a lot of it is the shame or their partner having this reaction to them saying it. And so my thing is, I feel like as a mature adult, if I can't even talk to you about what it is that I need from you sexually, then we're probably not compatible. And that's real talk. I don't care if you've been together for 20 years. If I can't sit here and tell you, I need you to give me oral sex more often because you ain't doing it enough. Okay. I'm gonna need it more often.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't say to your partner, okay, I feel like you're a little bit lazy. Like the man is saying, oh, you're a little lazy. You like to always be on the bottom. You don't want to do nothing. Like, you just want to just lay here. If you can't say that to your partner and they're easily offended like that, then you probably ain't with the right person. And you need to start thinking about maybe that part of it. But if you are at a point where you still are very highly attracted, very sexually attracted to your partner, and you still want to be with them, but life has gotten busy and shit just happens, kids and responsibilities are happening, and it hinders you from being able to be with that person, I feel like you should be able to sit down and schedule that time. Like, just like married couples have to schedule date nights. It has to be intentional. Like, I'm going to sit, you know, I'll speak for myself. I have a really healthy sexual appetite. I don't know if it's, they say it's because I'm a Scorpio. I don't know if that's the case. But I do love me some good sex. Not just any sex. I like some good sex, and I like it frequently, and I like it a whole lot. A lot of times, many times, we can do it for hours. I'm totally here for it. A lot of women are not there. A lot of women like 20 minutes and that's the max. Get off me.
I'm that woman. I'm
definitely 20 minutes, get off me. I'm done.
I feel like too much I could be doing. 2 hours. Like, I'm not even turned on at this point. We have for a whole hour. It's so much I could be doing right now.
Oh, no, ma'am.
We are doing this for me to come and for you to come. And once we have accomplished that, we can move on.
Oh honey, I've gone longer than
fuck you ever again.
I've gone longer. I probably my bull's probably gone about 4 hours. Yeah, we go. We get in it. We get lost.
This is a whole work shift.
I like it. That is the best job ever. I have never had more relaxation than a 4 hour session, okay? But what I'm saying is,
and I'm like, okay, won't be calling him.
You do not get a return call.
Nope.
But that is hilarious.
But everybody is different, like you said. Some people are, and this is when it comes down to knowing what you like.
Right? And telling that to your partner.
I will say after 30 minutes, I'm like, okay, you know, what's up? Like, are you done?
Are you done, son?
Are we finished? Because I think I'm finished at this point. You do have to be comfortable enough to say those type of things.
Yes.
But that's why I can't just be with anybody.
Exactly. And that's...
Some people would get offended when I start talking, like, telling them what I want. And they could do the same thing vice versa. But
yeah.
When it comes to my sexuality, it's like, okay, this is my relief, my stress reliever. So I need this to go right. And I need this to be real quick.
And I need it to be... I need it to be excellent. If it's going to be 20 minutes, right. And I'm not opposed to 20 minutes, sometimes you don't have hours. Sometimes you only got 20, 30 minutes. But if it's going to be 20, 30 minutes, God damn it, you better make my eyes roll in the back of my head, make me sweat, and make me scream. I am here for 20 amazing minutes. Okay, I'm here for it. But if it's 20 raggedy minutes, after 3, you're getting up. Right. I'm done. We're done, son. It's not happening. I am not here to play games.
Like that.
I'm here to serve you, and you're here to serve me, and we're here to make each other happy. Everybody should be smiling. Okay? When we're done, everybody's smiling, everybody's calm, everybody's relaxed.
I got that twinkle in their eye.
Exactly. The stress has been relieved, and we are good. But I feel like it's one of those things, people are just not comfortable enough talking about sex. And it's not just females. I feel like men talk amongst each other about sex and what they, you know, what they ideally want in sex. But I don't feel like they're talking to their friends, and men and women. We're talking to our friends, but we're not talking to our partner. We're not talking to the person that we're actually having sex with. I'm not telling my partner, I like it when you do this. Oh, I like it when you do that. I need more of this and less of that. And this is my expectation. So for me, I know that the person that I'm with, I can have the conversation and be like, hey, so, you know, my sexual appetite is pretty healthy. If we ever get to the place where we live together or we get married or whatever happens, I'm gonna need you to know that I'm gonna need it at least 4 to 5 times a week. Okay. And that's if we just doing it for 20, 30 minutes. If we're doing the 20, 30 minutes, I'm going to need it like 7 days. Okay. But but if we're doing it for hours, and she said, that's too much. Listen, it is not too much.
That's right. Hey, to each his own.
Listen, I run 4 businesses, and I work full time.
You need some stress reliever.
And I have children. So if I can make time, I can make time. But it's a priority to me. Because I feel like even when your relationship is stressed and you got all these financial pressures, you got jobs, you got work, you got business, you got all of these issues and stresses and finances, all of those stressors, I feel like that brings you together. That makes you become, you know, closer. When you have that time, it's not just about getting your rocks off and having your orgasm. It really is about that level
that's
of intimacy.
What people think it's about.
Yeah, it's totally not. And that's why I can say I can probably confidently say, and I haven't read the statistics, but I can confidently say that most people haven't even really truly, truly experienced good sex. And I say that because as a person that is now 42, and I did not really truly experience good sex till I was in my 40s, I was doing it wrong. I was doing it wrong. And it wasn't about, it was about just getting that release. It was until I learned that intimacy, sexual intimacy, is about coming together. And it's about that oneness. And you can't have that with just anybody. Now, it's a difference between, you know, if you're not in a relationship and you're fucking to get a nut, that's different. I'm talking about actually being in a relationship, because this is relationship talk. So we're talking about relationships. If you're in a relationship, it should be about getting to that level of intimacy. And intimacy only happens when you strip down all those inhibitions, you strip down all of those fears, you strip down all of those masks that you wear, and you become vulnerable. You can't truly have intimacy without vulnerability. There is no such thing. Because intimacy and vulnerability go hand in hand. You can't even have true intimacy. And just the act of sex itself is not really the best part. Like, to me, intimacy, sometimes when him and I are together, it's just literally just sitting there holding each other and talking. That level of intimacy is as equally fulfilling. You know, the holding, the caressing, the talking, the cuddling, those types of things is equally as fulfilling as the actual act of sex. It's those things that actually, I would say 9 times out of 10 lead to sex for us. It's like, okay, I want more. I want to get closer to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you, and we're sharing. We're being vulnerable. We're open to each other. And now I want to give you my body. And now I want you to give me your body.
So speaking of vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's this thing and this stigma with independent women, right? And them not wanting to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that's a lie. Because we could be submissive and vulnerable at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And but for some reason, guys think that, you know, women that's independent and can fend for themselves, they're not vulnerable or they're not submissive enough, right? And even in a relationship, believe it or not, in a relationship, they know their partner is independent, you know, but they can't see that vulnerability part of the woman or the submissive part of her.
Well, I think it's a two-part thing. So I think some of
it is
we as women sometimes give off too much masculine energy. And when I say masculine energy, it's feminine energy is very open, very loving, very caring, very nurturing. Masculine energy is very strong and very, you know, matter of fact and focused on the goal. And we both are equal parts of masculine and feminine energy. But sometimes when you put too much into the masculine side, you will come off as somebody that, you know, a man feels like you don't need him. I remember when I first met my boo, he was like, yeah, you know, he's like, you're beautiful and I'm surprised that you're single, but he's like, you do carry yourself like you don't need a man. I said, because I don't need a man. I will never need a man. I said, but the fact of the matter is I've had to learn to do everything for myself. So vulnerability for me has to be earned. You don't just walk up to me and get me vulnerable. I have to be able to trust you. Trust is very huge for me. If I can't trust you, you will never see my vulnerable side. But the flip side of that is when I'm coming off. So it did make me kind of look at how I was coming off. And if I'm coming off too aggressive, too masculine in a sense of, oh, I don't need you. I just, bam, I'm here to do whatever I got to do. I got to handle this business. Bam, bam, bam. I still want to balance. So like I try to balance my feminine and my masculine all the time. I'm conscious of it every day. Like I balance my feminine energy by, you know, just the smiling and the being more open and the, you know, the things that makes me a woman, you know, women, you know, putting the effort into how I look and how I carry myself and those things. Those are my feminine things that are natural for me. Outside of that, because I am a single mom, I have to be a provider. I have to be on my shit. I have to pay the bills. I got to take care of the responsibilities. I got to make sure everybody's good. I've got to run business. I've got to be a leader in my field. So I'm equal parts of both. But when it comes to my man, he's got to earn that part for me. You don't just get all of that from me without you, me feeling like I'm safe. And I think that's the part that men don't realize. If I'm not safe, I don't feel safe with you, you're never going to see me let my guard down, because I'm going to have to be guarded. I got to protect myself so you don't hurt me, you know? So I say that
this is why I say come into a relationship, or, you know, like when you're getting to know someone, you go on a couple of dates. On the first date, you know me, and I say this.
Yes.
I will let you know, listen, I'm not hardcore. I'm not an independent woman. I like for my man to take care of me. And you'll be surprised, because what you see versus what I'm saying, now you're confused. No, mm-hmm. Don't be confused. I like for my man to take care of me. You know,
I don't need you to take care of me. But I love it. I want it. You know, I desire it.
See, but you'll add that in.
See,
I know deep down within my heart, I don't need you. But I'm not going to say that, because let me tell you something. The moment that you tell a guy that, you know, you don't need them, they might just go ahead and, you know, not want to do nothing for you now. They don't want to reach for the bill, or they don't want to, you know, do anything extra for you. They'll let you take the trash out by yourself, because you're letting them know that's that masculine energy. So mm-hmm. I might look a certain way, but you laughed at me when I told you this. I will let you know, listen, I tell my partner all the time, listen, I have to need you and I have to want you at the same time. Mm-hmm. Me wanting you is kind of like me needing you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will, you know.
I'm working on it. I am not a master at it at all, because it's so hard for me. A lot of my healing has had to come from me being vulnerable with men that I was married to, and them taking that vulnerability and using it against me, using money to manipulate and hold it over my head. So I couldn't have certain things. Like, I had to ask them for everything, because they used it to manipulate me. So there's that part of again, safe. I have to feel safe. And that's what I had to explain to him. I was like, listen, it's not that I want a man to, you know, take care of me and handle things, because it takes so much stress off of me. I'm in a constant state of, I got to handle this, I got to do that, because I'm in so many different things that require that of me. But to be able to have somebody. Mm-hmm.
Question.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay, so remember I was telling you about this young lady named Passport Cutting. It's
yes.
a challenge. Now, mm-hmm. you know what I would do.
Yes.
But with your partner now,
mm-hmm.
right, this is a part of the being confident and being submissive and all of that good stuff we were just talking about. Would you ask your partner to give you $100 to pay your cell phone bill?
Mm. Not even just men. I don't ask anybody for anything. Like, that's a thing. Like, I don't ask anybody for anything. Like, that, it's not even just men. It's worse with men.
Except for my partner.
It's worse with men.
Like, I'm the opposite. If I'm not gonna ask nobody for nothing,
mm-hmm.
but if we're having sex, I feel like I have the right to ask you for the world.
I am gonna have to try that challenge.
You gotta try it. He'll say yes, of course, but you never know.
I don't know. I can't even confidently say that.
you gotta try the challenge.
I gotta try the challenge, because that is a challenge for me. Like, that, I'm more challenged by that challenge.
Exactly, and that's the whole point of it. So this is where we go back to embracing your sexuality, right?
Yes.
Because men do have to feel needed.
Yes.
Right? Not just wanted, but needed as well.
Right.
So when it comes to us embracing our sexuality, that's a partner thing in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because you have some partners that are down you. You're not going to embrace your sexuality with someone downing you.
Oh,
so
of course
it's going to take two people in order to embrace that sexuality that you have. Yeah, you can have all the confidence in the world, but if your partner's not looking at you and looking at other females, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you somehow had two kids for him, and now he's not attracted to you anymore, then how can you embrace your sexuality?
Exactly.
With your partner in your relationship.
Exactly.
So just doing little challenges like that, letting them know, listen, I need you, you know? I think that'll be a great challenge for you.
That is going to be a challenge.
You should do it.
That is going to be a challenge for me. I'm going to have to pray. Lord, help me, Jesus. You know
how I like it. It could be something else. It could say, hey, instead of for a cell phone bill, because some guys are like, you know, not just guys, but
people.
Women, too. People in general, like, we're grown. You should be able to pay your cell phone bill.
Right.
So maybe it's something like, I've seen this perfume, mm-hmm. and I want this perfume. It costs, you know, $100 and something. He might say, I'll get the perfume from you. Or, you know, I'll give you $100. But I think you should try.
Well, that would be easier for me. That would be way easier for me. Because, you know me, I like my stuff. I like nice things.
I figured I'd change it up a little. Because, you know, me, I don't really, I need $100 for the cell phone bill.
Even if I do, I ain't asking you. But see, that's the problem.
See?
I'm a work in progress.
Part of the embracing your sexuality. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things.
And feminine, that's a part of embracing your feminine energy. And that is something that I, like I said, every day I'm working on it. Because it's very hard to change these hats. Okay? I have to be in boss hat at work. You know? And then I got to come home and be the boss. And then when I finally get the kids settled down, I got to go in these business ventures and be the boss. It's very...
You can still be the boss in your relationship, and you just have to balance it out.
Yeah, I don't want to be the boss in my relationship. That's where I don't want to be the boss. I don't want to do that.
Me either.
I don't... I need a break. You know, when the Bible talks about the woman being the weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that we're mentally stronger a lot of times than men. We're physically weaker. And in a sense of emotionally, we're not built to carry all of the pressures that I think men are built to carry. And unfortunately, the way society is, and in today's in the day and age that we're in, a lot of women are single moms and we have to do all of these things by ourselves. So we do have to step into a role. But it is, I want somebody to be able to come into my life and alleviate some of my stress. Like, I don't feel like you serve a purpose for me if you can't come into my life and better my life in some way. Because I can tell you how I come into your life and better yours, but if you can't tell me how you come into my life and better mine, then I don't really have a use for you. And that's fact.
That's another factor that comes into play. That's another factor that comes into play in relationships, right?
Yeah.
Because men will tell you X, Y, and Z, you guys get together, you're in love during the honeymoon stage,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that starts to fade.
Yes.
Eventually.
They get comfortable.
They get a little bit too comfortable. And to keep that spice going, and like we mentioned, it takes two.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner as a male has to do his job as a man.
Mm-hmm.
So we as a woman have to allow them to do that job, mm-hmm. you know, and that's going to play a major role in us embracing our sexuality because we are feminine. We do have the curve.
Yeah.
You know, as I mentioned before, I'm attracted to women too, but I'm not attracted to male looking women because that's not what we're feminine.
Yeah. You like the feminine version of a woman. You like, you know, the beauty, the skin, the hair, the body, the nails, all of the things that makes us who we are. It makes us sexy. It makes us attractive. That's the thing that makes us sexy is our femininity. And it is very difficult. And I feel like society has caused a lot of these issues. And embracing your femininity doesn't mean you just walk around, hi, all day, like a Stepford wife. But what I'm saying is it is a part of that vulnerability. And I'm vulnerable in a lot of ways, but I'm not vulnerable in others. And I'm still a work in progress in many ways. And we talk about it all the time. Because for me, it's a part of my trauma. So it's triggering. You want me to ask somebody for money? Dead. I'm not doing it. You know, because that's just, I was treated so poorly for so many years that way. I don't trust people in that way to take care of me. So I go and get that shit. I'm not asking because I'm going to go get it. But at the same time, that's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing and a curse. And I'm working on it and I'm conscious of it. So it makes it, it's a daily, it's a daily walk for me where I'm working on be embracing that part of me. But thank you so much for this. You know, I love you, girl. You like my sister. We talk about all of these things. So this is nothing new. It's new to our podcast, to the podcast audience, but it's nothing new for you and I. We used to have these conversations all the time.
And we can still go on and on.
We can go on for hours about it. But I appreciate you coming in and joining me for this episode of Relationship Talks. I'm going to try to get this posted on all of the platforms this evening after I do some edits. And I'll be probably calling you again for part two. We're going to talk about that bisexuality. We're going to talk about it.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. So I also am going to be bringing in some same-sex couples. We're going to talk about that and kind of like the dynamics that they deal with in their relationships, because it's different. You know, everybody has their own separate sets of challenges when it comes to relationships and how they relate to one another.
And I was going to say, just to recap, when we embrace our sexuality, there's so many things that come into play. It comes in, like, our past could dictate that, our present could dictate that, our current situation, our partner, so many things. It should be us that kind of dictates how we embrace our sexuality.
Yes.
Take your control back.
Women. Yeah, as a woman. And be okay with it. And be okay with saying, I like this. I don't like that. And be okay with your partner saying, even if you come to your partner, you say, hey, I want to be able to do this, 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 and this to you. And if your partner's like, I'm not here for that, then you have to be okay with that and make that decision as to whether or not that's something you can live with. It's compromise. Everything is a compromise. Well, we will probably be finishing this topic and doing maybe a part two a little bit later down the road. But I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for joining me for Relationship Talks. Love you, girl.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, bye.